are great. And this morning, I just want to declare and acknowledge that you're our God. We want to know you better. We want to see your heart. We want to experience your emotions and the way that you feel towards us. But not only towards us, Lord, towards everyone. And thank you that you've revealed your goodness over and over and over and over. That when we sing this, it is not just a place of singing. It comes out of a place of yes, you are. And I ask this morning, Lord, that you will continue to reveal yourself to us in a special way. That you'll continue to reveal your heart to us in a way that we will say, yes, you are, Lord. You're our God. Please give us grace upon grace that will enable us to understand you as our God and to understand our role as man and to respond in obedience in whichever way you desire, knowing that you've got a dream, knowing that you've got a passion, knowing that your bigger picture is all what counts. So therefore, thank you for the finished work of the cross, Lord, that we can really come to a place where we can get to know you, our Creator. Help us to do this. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Môre. Ek hoop Danel hierdie Engels gaan werk vanoggend. Want as dit nie gaan werk nie, dan moet jy maar vertaal, hoor. Maar hy gaan nou in Engels wees. This morning we are going to be looking at something that we probably have on our lips quite often, something that we deal with every day. Something that we might be struggling with, something that is just a reality in our lives and our culture where we are. And I'm not much of one that put headers to stuff, but if there's a header for this topic, it is probably, why are we busy? Why are we busy? So I think if you go around and you ask, how's it going with anyone, hoe gaan het? Ja, besig. Hoe gaan het? Ja, besig. Ek hoor het baie. And with me, the same. I'm just as busy, and one of our students, we were putting our names on the board and giving a different name with the letter of our name, and now mine is B. And they looked at me and they said, no, B, Brett, definitely busy. And that's how they see me, busy. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing that this is a reality where we are, especially our community, our culture in Canada and New Zealand, the places that I went to go visit, the churches abroad, wherever I'm going, I'm seeing this busyness. All over. And I'm asking the question, Lord, what is it? Is it good? Is it bad? What's your heart? I'm seeing all these bells and whistles, all the things that is calling our attention, these things that is always just there, just the meetings, the bells, the this, the phone, the that, the meetings, the school programs, and it's really, really busy. And in many ways, I see that it's doing damage. In many ways, I see it's hurting relationships. In many ways, I see it's making the church demakar in 100 different directions without a focus. And it feels like that we have less time than ever. Maybe you've said it, I've said it a few times. It just feels that each month, each week, each year is just getting faster and faster and quicker, and it feels like we need more time. Now, I ask myself the question, what do I need more time for? Because I would probably just be more busy. It has become very part of our culture, and for many people, most people, it is a norm. It's the normal. We are used to being busy. Now, I need to make it very clear. This morning, I'm not here to say that it's good or it's bad. I've been asking myself the question, Lord, where am I at? What is going on with this busyness thing? And so I'm really going to leave the opportunity for God to talk to us personally of where we're at. We're in this midst of this busy culture. And we'll be looking at just one little aspect today of God's bigger picture. And busyness is definitely not the focus. I think the heart behind it needs to be brought out. What God is saying in His Word, that's what we need to find out. What's God's heart? Is it good or bad? That's not my issue. But what is His heart behind our busyness? And I think we need to get to the crux of that, the point of that, so that in the midst of our everyday, we can understand what is his heart. And that's what we want to come out to. So, many of us are fighting against this. I've seen programs, apps, all these things everywhere to help us in our busyness, to prioritize. Some are trying to escape it, trying to have this rustig, cool, laid-back, chill-pull life so that we can have our thoughts focused, so that we can be in line with whatever it is that we need to be in line with. But to be honest with you, I don't see that as a reality at the moment. I'm trying to be rustig, I'm trying to, but our culture is forcing us in this busy system. It's busy. The school programs are crazy. Everything is crazy. And so I'm not seeing the fruit in a rustig, laid-back life where everything is, but I'm also not seeing the fruit in this hectic, busyness. So somewhere there's a problem. And I asked the Lord, what is it? What do you see? How do you see it? And how do I deal with this as a believer, as a child of God? What do I do in the midst of this busyness? Because it's not a reality for me to try and step out the box and be in this, take it easy. It's not a reality. It's not possible. Or anyways, for me at the moment, it's not possible. And so the Lord showed me very clearly a scripture, and it challenged me. And it's from Proverbs 6, verse 6. And I wasn't expecting it, to be honest with you, but there's so much to unpack. And I don't want to focus on the scripture so much. I want to focus on God's heart behind the scripture. But in Proverbs 6, verse 6, he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, or you lazy person, in Afrikaans, miskien jou leiaard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it does what it needs to do. Go to the ant. Some translation says, look at the ant and be wise. Now, I started looking at ants. If this is what God is saying to me, I went and I started looking at ants in my garden, BBC documentaries. I'm checking out these ants. And I'm saying to my wife, Lisa, we need to go look at the ants. And say, plikkie do, mate, and say, waar is hulle? Ek wil net vir hulle spuit, want sy hou nie van mure nie. I'm also not much of a fan because they are great opportunists. They look at every opportunity to do what they do. But anyways, we started looking at the ants. If God is saying to us, go look at the ants and be wise, then that's what we need to do. We need to start looking at the ants and being wise. And I don't think that the ants, while they are doing what they are doing, I really don't think they are thinking, yes, ek moet net rustig vat. I just need to take it easy in my responsibilities, or I just need a bit of a less busy life. And I also don't think that the ants are talking to each one another and say, luister opie, I'll take a chill pill. Your priorities are not right here. Ek dink nie so nie. I'm pretty sure that they don't. And if I look at the ants, I must be completely honest, they are busy. Hulle is besig, constantly, never stopping. And now there's this, in a lot of churches, a lot of believers, we're kind of trying to fight against this busyness. But the scripture is saying something here, go to the ant, consider its ways. In other words, do what they do, be like them, look at them and be wise. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, well then, you know, we're doing it right then. What's the problem? We've got it all right. If I look at Nabokveld, where we are, the places that I've traveled, the people that I'm involved with, we are busy. One meeting after the next, doing all these things, a lot of things that is coming onto our plate and we have to do it, running around like mad people most of the time. So I'm asking, Lord, but then what's the issue? We are doing it right. We've got it. We are like ants. And he said to me, look further. Continue to look. And so I continue to look and we kind of put up a list. What do they do? Ja, hulle byt, hulle soek kos. All this massive list of what ants do. And you kind of get a glimpse of their character, and I guess that there's so much to unpack in the scripture. So in your cell groups, go and have a look at it and unpack it. But I don't want to do that now. I want to get to the heart behind it. And hopefully there's another opportunity to unpack this. But as I continue to look, an obvious thing struck me. forget about all the whys and how devoted they are, and they're going the extra mile, and they're working great as a team, and they really look like a body, and all that fantastic stuff. I was challenged with one question. Why? Why do they do what they do? What is their very reason? What is their motive? What is their focus? Why do they do what they do? And it's very, obviously, it's very straightforward. The success of their colony. And they've got one thing on mind, is that this colony of theirs needs to grow. It needs to be protected. It needs to be sustained. It needs to move forward. The colony. And as I started to chew on this, it made so much sense to me. And I asked myself the question, what is my colony? Because the busyness, we've got down. We've got that down. We're good at that. But the question is, why? What is our colony? What is our focus? Why are we doing what we are doing? And that's something that we need to come to terms with, or something that we need to figure out and understand. The colony, as a believer, I believe, is not our family, is not our church or congregation, is not our business or organization or wherever we find ourselves, but the colony is the kingdom of God. Straightforward and finished. His kingdom. Our church, our family, our business, or whatever we are doing is simply our role within the kingdom. Our role within the colony. Just like after studying these BBC programs, I'm amazed at ants. There's so much that we can learn. Really, go and have a look at them. Consider their ways and be wise. But each of them have got their role. There's a group of ants that go out and they leave the scented track behind them, and they don't even touch the food. They get to the food. They don't touch the food, though. And then they come back. And then the others who are the food collectors, they follow the scent and they go collect the food. And then there's the soldiers that protect the colony and make sure that everything is running. And so each has a specific role. And so our businesses, our work, whatever we're doing in the midst of our everyday, our families, our comforts, our whatever the case may be, should not never ever be our colony. But it has got a massive role to play within the colony, within the kingdom. And so my heart was challenged. I said, Lord, but it's so easy to just focus on, yeah, the busyness, the what I'm doing, and the growth of where I'm at, whether it's my family, business, organization, church. And the Lord is constantly saying, there's a bigger picture. And the colony is that bigger picture, the kingdom of God. And so I really just want to bring out a few things of what God was sharing with me and how I was challenged. So maybe it's more of a testimony than a what-to-do list. And he took me to the next surprise that I wasn't expecting. So I said, Lord, what do I do now? How do I teach this? How do I live this? How do I be this? How do I teach my children this? How do I teach my staff this? How do we address this? And as I said, he took me to the next surprise. And I saw this next surprise throughout the whole Gospels, but I really want to just focus on the first 9 chapters, and I promise I'm not going to read the first 9 chapters. That would be crazy. But I want to bring out a few points that throughout the first 9 chapters, or actually throughout the first beginning of the Gospels, you see this through and through and through. And it was a surprise to me. And so I'm just going to read it out. I'm not going to quote the scriptures, just so that we can get an idea of what God is saying and what he's desiring. The first one, he was speaking to the demons after they were driven out, and he said, or the demon said to God, or to Jesus, you are the Son of God. Then Jesus replied, he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, but they knew he was the Messiah, because they knew he was the Messiah. The next one, he said, be quiet, said Jesus sternly. The next one after that, see that you don't tell anyone of me or what I'm doing. He gave them strict order not to tell anyone who he was. Then the next one. He gave strict order that they would not let anyone know about this. And that was about his miracles. And he didn't want anyone to know of it. Jesus commanded not to tell anyone. And so he goes on. Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about who he was. And I'm thinking, yeah, but this, you're all about everyone telling everyone about who you are. And for the first 2.5 years of him walking with the disciples, according to history and the Gospels, he was constantly saying to his people, don't do it. Don't go tell them. Stop. He warned them sternly, he says. What is this about? Later in the Gospels, he makes it very clear. And remember, we're talking about busyness. This is what we want to be looking at. This is what we want to be seeing. Lord, what is going to make our busyness fruitful? What is going to help us in the midst of our busyness? And God really revealed his heart to me in a special way. He waited 2.5 years to ask this question. And he waited 2.5 years to mention something that he never, ever mentioned before with his disciples. And the question was, and I'll read it out of Scripture. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Obviously, because he had all this wisdom and he was so young, there was no possibility, there's no way that he could be. Then he asked, but what do you say? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So there he was with this thing again. He's still saying, don't tell them. He just had this beautiful revelation that God is the Messiah, or Jesus, this guy, is the Messiah, the one who came back to save and create this path to eternity. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go from Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised. So he'd been waiting a long time to ask this question, and then these two questions, or these two things that he said for the first time ever was, okay, now I will build my church. Before that, he never mentioned church anywhere. He did miracles, he healed, he did many great things, but he never ever, according to Scripture, mentioned church. And for the first time now to Peter, he said, now you can build my church. And the second was obviously the death on the cross. He never mentioned ever, he gave no hint that he was going to die and be raised again. And it was the first time that he mentioned this. And from there, he took his disciples up the mountain, where they had this beautiful revelation of who he was, and they saw Jesus in this white robe or clothing that looked like lightning, according to the Scriptures. Now, I know some of you there by me would love to have a jacket that looks like lightning. But for 2.5 years, he forbid those to talk about him. And finally, the time had come, and I'm asking myself, what's up with that, Lord? He said to the demons, don't go tell anyone that I'm the Messiah. He said to his disciples, don't go tell anyone of these miracles. Because he knew that somehow his people had to have a fresh revelation of who he was personally. He said, these things were not revealed to you by flesh and by blood, but my Father has revealed it to you. And from there, the story goes on, where from the Mount of Transfiguration, there where he saw Jesus, it was straight down, straight to Golgotha, basically. Died on the cross. And before that, he said, go out into all nations. And so I'm seeing this beautiful pattern. I'm asking myself, Lord, what does this mean to me? And how do I connect this with this busyness that you're talking about with me? Because I can really focus on the ants for quite a long time and see exactly what I need to do and how I need to operate as an ant. If I need to consider its ways, and the Lord is saying, consider its ways, yeah, great. But look further. And it comes back to the why. God's church or his kingdom or his colony is built by those who know him. Only built by those who know him. And he waited 2.5 years to make sure that they understood that Jesus was the Messiah. Then they went out and they were extremely busy. Before that, God said, don't do it. Don't. And that pace afterwards was fast. And the multiplication was just as fast. And so I'm still asking myself, Lord, okay, I hear this, I see this. I'm challenged by this, not so much with the busyness, because according to God's scripture, busyness is okay. But he's saying, what are you busy with? And you know, we can come up with a bunch of great answers of what we are busy with. But the real question is, we need to come to a place of, who do I say that he is? Who do you say that he is? I was reminded of the bigger picture in this. And God shared his heart in such a way where I realized I'm okay with being busy as long as my focus is in line with his colony. And we'll look at a few points of how we can be busy or what it is that God desires. I went through the scriptures. I said, Lord, okay, who are you to me? Who do I say that you are? And I went through Isaiah, and he showed me exactly who he is to me. He reminded me very specifically of what his desire is in this bigger picture, and this is what I really want to bring out the most of here, so that it will help us and motivate us in our busyness of why. Because if you really ask yourself the question, why are we so busy? What is the reason? What would your answer be? What is your why in the midst of your busyness? In Hosea 2, he talks about the bloodshed upon bloodshed. He talks about the stealing. He talks about the killing. He talks about this world that is going crazy at the moment. He talks about how this people of his has turned his back on this bridegroom, this husband, and how they're running in many different directions, following all these things. And he's saying, you adulteress, I love you. And throughout the whole book of Hosea, those that don't know, but this was a book just to illustrate his passionate heart about his people who had turned their back on him and followed all these things, idols, raisin cakes, busyness, all these things. And they got caught up with that where they didn't really acknowledge that God was God anymore. They knew that he was there. They knew that he was in the midst of everything. They had an understanding of that, but really he wasn't their God. And there's a few scriptures that I just want to say out just to bring God's heart in this. And go read Isaiah 2 also. So look at 6 verse 6, Proverbs 6 verse 6. And then go to Isaiah 2 and 3 and 4 in your own time. And get a glimpse of this God that we are serving. And then the question is it the God that we are serving? Or is it our busyness and what we are focusing on? The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loved the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Then he goes on in 4, hear the words of the Lord. Because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery. They break all bounds. The bloodshed follows bloodshed. because of the land mourns, and all who live in it is wasting away. And the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. And so God is going through this whole book and he's just saying, oh, do you not see what is going on? Do you not see what is going on? And then he says something so beautifully. And this who he is to me. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. So the fresh revelation came to me again of the bigger picture. I realized again that God desires nothing else other than his people, his bride, his creation to be back with him for all eternity, forever. Not to apply great principles in the business place, not to disciple groups and all these things. That's not the desire. That is for the desire. Whatever we are doing, are we seeing it that this is our role in the colony and it is simply for when all this comes to an end, all this bloodshed, stealing, adultery, murder, all this that we are seeing in our midst of our everyday, that when this comes to an end, that we are with him. That he's saying to his bride, his husband, his wife, I'm so desperate for you to be back with me. I'm so desperate for those that are broken to be back with me. I'm so desperate for all this to come to an end so that in eternity, it is just me and you, the bride and the bridegroom. And so I was challenged, yeah, I'm so busy with a bunch of stuff, which is great, but I forget about why. I forget about my reason, my motive, my inspiration, the bigger picture. And I want to challenge us this morning and give us an opportunity for God to really speak to us of what is our why. Because maybe some of you will agree, who of us is busy here? We are all busy. And we need to really challenge ourselves and ask the question, why are we busy? Is busyness bad according to the scripture? No. Is our focus need to be changed? Mind sometimes need to be challenged. And how does that look in the midst of our everyday? You know, I got reminded of this thing. I like to cook and I love to eat. It's lekker for me. But there's nothing worse than your pot of food being overwhelmed with salt. It's terrible. You know, a little bit of salt is good, but a whole pot of salt is just, you can't explain what you're tasting, but it's not lekker. Hy proe nie lekker nie. And this hit me. We are called to be the salt and the light, but sometimes within the congregations all over worldwide, I see that we are just a massive pot of salt that is just busy with one another. We are coming in, cell group, this, that, and I'm wondering sometimes if my salt is just busy with more salt. Or is this little bit of salt being distributed to bring flavor in the midst of the workplace? Bring fragrance and taste in the midst of where we are in our midst of our everyday? Or are we only speaking of God and his wisdom in the midst of the other salt? And that is the question. Because it's easy to talk of his goodness, to share his goodness, to sing his goodness in the midst of salt. But at the end of the day, it becomes the pruni lakani. And we need to do it. But somehow God is saying, be the salt, not in a salt pot. Be the salt that brings flavor in the other midst of what we are doing. And so where you are in the midst of your everyday, how can we see kingdom? Because that's what we need to understand. How can we see colony where we are? I'm not saying that we need to stop what we are doing and focus. That is a dualistic mindset to say, yeah, God's kingdom is here and my workplace is here. No, we need to see God's kingdom in the midst of our workplace. We need to see God's kingdom in the midst of our busyness and our everyday. And how do we deal with that? And how do we reveal to those who is God? Because that's what it's all about. God is saying, All I want to do is just show my bride who I am and how much I love them. All I want is them to come back to me. And when they do that, then the time will come where the trumpet call blows. And so how do we do that? I don't think it's more discipleship courses, or although that's awesome. But I think it's somehow the natural lifestyle of where we are. And more got to do with our mindset and more to do with our heart attitude. Where we have to really ask God, please transform this heart and this mindset of mine so that in the midst of my everyday, that I will see opportunities like an ant does. That everywhere I go, you know, ants, I said it before, I think, but they everywhere they go, they are just checking out for opportunities all the time. You know, I remember we were staying at a friend and we came back from the beach and you saw them from far. They were going up this whole staircase and they found their way into a dishwasher. And they were coming from outside. And I'm thinking, these guys are an amazing, they seek every single opportunity that they can for the sake of the colony. Every single opportunity, they get it. They make sure of it because they know that it's for the colony. And there's this natural kind of just way that they do it without even knowing what they're doing. But unfortunately for us, we've been caught up. We've been caught up in sin. We've been caught up in busyness. So we need to be reminded every now and then, why are we doing what we are doing? And this is crucial. This is crucial. It's just to be reminded why. Because we do fall in ditches. We do get overwhelmed with programs, with scheduled systems. We do get overwhelmed with this world and its bells and whistles that is constantly calling our attention. But how in the midst of that do we build colony, his kingdom? How in the midst of that are we the salt, the fragrance? And I want to say we just basically need to understand first, who do you say I am? And when we get a fresh revelation of who our God is, naturally, I believe, we will start desiring what he desires. And we need to be reminded of this constantly. I realized I've been walking with the Lord for quite some time, but that question got me. Brett, who do you say I am? And who do you say I am in the midst of your busyness? And it got me. And I was reminded of this bigger picture, as I said. So therefore, with this in mind, that we have this kind of fresh revelation. And I really want to leave it on the table. And I've got a song in a moment that I want to allow the Lord to minister to us, to speak to us personally. Because I can give a list of what to do as an ant. But if we do not have a fresh revelation of who he is, the who do you say I am, if we do not understand that this is all for colony, then we are just going to be busy. And that's not going to bear any fruit. But if we are busy in the midst of our everyday, then we will. So, pray for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Lord, how do I build colony in the midst of my busyness? How do I use this as a tool? How is this my role in the midst of your colony? And then bring that wisdom to the meeting tables. Speak about it in the midst of the people that you are working with. Identify those that is longing to be talked tenderly. God is wanting to talk tenderly to his body, to his bride. And there's so many people, myself included, that wants to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to be reminded. And so we need to be like the ants, seeking every opportunity to share God's heart. And the God's heart is us with him for eternity. Straightforward. There's nothing else. Everything must add up to that. Everything must add up to him desiring us. And in the midst of the success, great. In the midst of our businesses doing well, fantastic. In the midst of organizations revealing who he is, great. In the midst of the discipleship camps, fantastic. In the midst of the school programs, awesome. If it grows and it's successful, great. But remember that this is just a role within the colony. And do we know our role is the first question. Do we know our role in the colony? The ants, they know it so well. Naturally, they do it. They live it out. Ask God. Ask yourself, do I know my role? And how does that look practically? Secondly, who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? And from there, I believe the why will be answered. So I've got this song that we're going to play in a moment. And let it be a prayer. And if somehow this is speaking to you, and you may be in a place of saying, well, I don't know who he is. Or I'm not sure my busyness is part of colony. Or how do I make my busyness colony, focused on his building of the church on the rock? Then the first question that we need to answer is, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus Christ to us? And this is not a once-off thing. I've answered this question many times, but I've needed to be reminded of this because busyness has overwhelmed me, and I thought that I need to get rid of busyness in order to answer that. And the Lord is saying, no, busyness is a reality. Don't try to escape it. Answer, who am I in the midst of that? Answer, how do I do that in the midst of his kingdom ways? Because we cannot escape this world and its busyness. But we need to be the fragrance, the salt, the light in the midst of it. So I hope that that God will speak to us in the midst of our busyness. And we really want to pray with, open up an opportunity. If you feel that I don't know what I'm busy with, I'm just busy. I want my busyness to be effective. I want it to be kingdom. I want it to be colony. Then let us pray with you specifically for that. If you're in a place where, who do you say I am, and you're unsure, then let us pray with you on that afterwards. But we want to play this song, and let it be a prayer. Let it be a beautiful scripture that God is talking to us, and this is him. He says, but then, and the Lord was saying, after all this demacarness in this world, he said, but then, I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice and unfailing love and compassion. Are you in a place where we need to hear that? Are we in a place where we need to understand God's beautiful romantic heart for his bride? Are we in a place of saying, sure, Lord, I need to hear your voice again. I want to be comforted by your beautiful ways. And when we see that, oh, this is my God, therefore, go be like the ants. Consider its ways. Go out to all nations. Because God cannot build his church. He cannot build colony on people that don't know him. And for many years, he knew that he couldn't let his disciples go out and spread this fragrance, this salt, the whatever it was that he was busy doing, because they did not have a revelation of who he was. They first needed to see, oh, he's the Messiah. I see Jesus for who he truly is, not for what that person said or this story or this, whatever the case may be. They had a personal revelation. It's him. And from there, God said, okay, it's time. Go out. And let us be reminded this morning of this. And if we're in a place where we know it, be reminded. If we're in a place where we don't, respond so that God can talk to us tenderly and lead us out from there. So by all means, feel free to come to the back there if we can pray for you while the song is on. If you can stand, sit, kneel, cry, pray, whatever you like to do. But let us give God an opportunity to have his way. I think one of the greatest prayers that could be prayed is, Lord, please have your way. Have your way with me today and speak to me tenderly so that I can understand why am I busy. So busyness is good. I think busyness is good. The question is why. And let God talk to us today. So let us respond. Lord Jesus, we want to respond. We want you to talk to us tenderly. We want to know who you are. We want to know why we are busy. Remind us, please, God, so that we will be real. You are good, and we want to love you, but in our own strength, we can't. We want to build colony, but we can't without a revelation of who you are, Lord. So reveal to us this morning who you are. Please, Father, show us your heart again. This beautiful bridegroom who wants to draw us back to yourself so that we can be with you, so that all this that we are dealing with can stop. So that we can be with you.
I'm listening to you. And that this heart of man receives what is full of grace and truth. Whisper, whisper, whisper in my ear. Tell me words I thought I'd never hear. Show me, show me, show me what you see. Illuminate what's right in front of me. So much more to what we see. Sometimes I'm scared to take it in. Is that you right in front of me? Are you the stranger? Find room in my heart, and like a garden, let your words begin to grow. And when my faith is prone to fear, remind me of your love. Remind me that you never let me go. Remind me, remind me.
Just there where you are, maybe just close your eyes. And think about your busyness and what you are busy with every day. And more so importantly, think about who do you say that he is? What is your answer there? Who do you say he is? And so with that in mind, Lord, we ask that you'll again remind us of your love, that you will give us reason to go out and be busy in the midst of our everyday. Help us to understand colony the way that you do. Help us to lead a natural life in the midst of our roles and our actions. Help us to understand that all you desire is to win her back once again and will lead her into the desert to speak to her tenderly. Keep our eyes closed, and if there is any way or any desire or a conviction, let me rather say, that your busyness has got very little to do with colony, then respond to God and repent. Respond and allow the Lord to show you how to make that busyness part of his kingdom. And if there's priorities that need to be left, then so be it. But with that in mind, I just want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can come to you and know that you love us tenderly. That you love us tenderly in a way that wants to lead us to yourself. And this is all that you desire. So therefore, I ask upon grace, that we will see this in the midst of our everyday. That when we look at others around us, that we will see this also. That somehow we'll be able to just comfort, put an arm around, be the salt, bring the flavor, be the light in the midst of the darkness, pray specifically for those. But we know that all of this is going to be absolutely fruitless if we don't know who you are. If we don't know the answer of who do you say that I am. If it's just a matter of, well, some say that you are the prophet or reincarnation of Elijah or Moses. But give us a personal revelation, a personal experience with you so that our busyness will change. So that our busyness will have reason. We don't want to live through life, Lord, where our busyness is just the sake of being busy. We want it to be part of what you are doing. And so therefore, Lord, we want to be like the ants. We want to consider its ways. We don't want to be a slug in your kingdom, Lord. And we see that we don't need a commander or an overseer or a ruler to help us, but that we need to be convicted by you personally. Oh, Lord, we love you. We want yours. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't need a Christoph or for ancient or elders to constantly remind us that we need to go out and make disciples, to go out and be the salt, to go out and focus on colony. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it does what it needs to do. This can only come out of a place of a revelation with him. I really pray that you guys will have a revelation along with myself, my family, that we'll have a revelation of who he is. So therefore our busyness and our motives behind that will change. Not necessarily stop, but change. And how we do it and our focus therein. Thank you, everyone.